Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we turn to the scripture this morning. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, first of all, for the opportunity and privilege, Lord, to be able to gather the way that you have permitted us, Lord. And Father, the liberty and freedom we have to do that yet, Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, we ask now that you will anoint us, God. Lead us, Lord, through the scripture today, Lord, to be able to minister to the people, Lord, something that would be helpful, Lord, in building faith and strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 15. What I want to speak on this morning is friend of God. John chapter 15, begin reading at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And you may be seated. Friendship is something that we all seek after, have sought after at one point or time in this life. You know, you try to make friends and you like to have friends. Sometimes, I know when you're younger, sometimes you don't always make the right friends. And sometimes when you're younger, especially in high school, why, you'll seek after to make friends with folks that will cause you to actually kind of change who you are in order to be accepted into their group. And you know, that's never really a true friend if you got to change who you are to be friends with them. It's like the prodigal son. He had friends till he ran out of money. And when he ran out of money, he was all alone, forsaken. Everybody forsook him. But when he had money, why, he could throw parties and all this stuff, why, he had more friends than, you know, you could shake a stick at. And, but that's the way friends of the world are a lot of times. They're, you know, there's some people, they're friends with you as long as you can do something for them, as long as they can use you in some way. But a lot of times we put a lot of effort into making friends. But I wonder how much effort did we put in making friendship with God, to become a friend of God. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I've chosen you. That shows how great God is. It's hard for us to imagine God choosing us when we look at ourselves. Why would God choose me? God chose us. We didn't stumble upon Jesus and fall in love with him and then get on our knees and beg and say, "Will you please be my friend?" But he sought after us. You've heard a lot of people say, "I found Jesus." Jesus isn't lost. We were the ones he sought after, like a shepherd would his sheep, seek after the lost sheep. Amen. He sought after us and found us. He chose us. The Bible says he stands at the door and knocks. He that will open, he'll come in and sup with them. He wants to be part of your life. God wants to be your friend. Turn with me to James chapter 2, verse 23. And it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. So what was it about Abraham that could put him in a position to be called the friend of God? Remember when God called him. And he said, get thee out of thy country from thy kindred. And he says, go to a land which I'll show you. But in Hebrews it said, he went out not knowing whether he went. So he was just told by God to go. And he got going in a certain direction. And he didn't know where he was going. He just was told by God to go. That's faith. When God can give you direction and say, go on forward with this. But you don't know, well, how's it going to turn out? Don't worry about how it's going to turn out. Walk by faith. I know we're human. We kind of want to know, well, how, before I start on this, what's going to be the outcome? But that isn't how your walk is with God. Faith is taking a hold of things that cannot be seen and believing them. Abraham, when he was commanded of God to do something, he did it. He trusted God. When God gave him a promise, Abraham believed it. Abraham, because he was a friend of God, Brother Branham said, he knew how to take God. In other words, when God would say something, and it would seem to not make any sense to the human mind, well, Abraham, because he was friends with God, he knew what God meant. He knew how to take God. And when he was promised a son, and it went through, think about it, went through 20 years, still no son. Sarah says, I'm getting on up there closer to 100, Abraham, and we still haven't had that son. But Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. But he was strong in the faith, giving praise to God. Another 5 years passed. So here's 25 years gone by. Where's the promise? But see, Abraham went forth still believing that promise. And then when they had Isaac, and after Isaac, I don't know exactly the age of Isaac, but he was a young lad when God told Abraham, you take him and go sacrifice him. And so Abraham shows his faith in God. God said, I'll make you a father of nations. Now, how's he going to be a father of nations if he has no offspring? But Abraham knew that God had already brought Isaac from the dead, because he and Sarah, as far as bearing children and having children, father and mother, children, they were dead in this body. But God had brought that body back to to a state where they could have a child. So he'd already brought Isaac from the dead. And Abraham walked forward on faith, believing this. Abraham took God at his word and didn't question it. That's how you be a friend with God. Be able to take him at his word and not question it. When God says he'll take care of us, then when things don't look like they're going exactly right, if we start pouting around and kicking around and just moping miserable around, well, that ain't having faith in God. Faith in God, you will have peace. You're not going to be miserable, but you're going to have peace. God's going to see to this. God's going to take care of us. He promised that he would. God's got this all in control. I know you hear me saying that over and over and over again. Maybe one day you'll get it. But Abraham went, and he didn't just take Isaac up there and think, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just go through the motions, you know, and we'll just kind of see what happens. And when I get to that last point, hopefully God will do something. No, Abraham knew if he had to slay Isaac, God could bring him back from the dead. He knew what God had told him to do. And so he set forth to do it. And remember, the scripture said the angel had to stay his hand. And then he said, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. See, he recognized Abraham's faith. The Bible says it was counted to him for righteousness. Faith, to have faith, you know, if you say you have faith and won't put it to work, then it's no good. That's why James says faith without works, it's not made perfect. It's no good without works. If you've got faith, you can put the thing to work. Brother Branham says, in the midst of my commission, now all you with faith and you're afraid to put it to work, it won't do any good. Why not just lay aside everything that's unlike faith? Believe and act on what you believe, not what you feel. Oh, that's our problem many times. We act on what we feel, not what we believe. Have you ever been so sick you felt like you were dying? I'm being serious here. You ever been down that sick you just felt like I'm dying? You didn't die, so it was a feeling. So you can't go by feelings. You got to go by the word of God. Believe God and stay with that irregardless of what you're feeling, irregardless of how it's looking around you. My dad used to say this a lot. He'd say, don't be a thermometer, be a thermostat. He said, a thermometer is affected by what the atmosphere is around it. But he says a thermostat can change the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Believe and act on what you believe, not what you feel or what the senses bear witness of, but what your faith bears witnesses of. You have faith in God, then act like you have faith in God. I'll tell you this, you that have children, your children watch you more than what you think they do. They watch how you react to things, and you know what? You're showing, you're actually teaching them, this is the way you should react to this situation. And if you're not reacting right, then guess what you're passing on to the next generation? passing on that same thing to the next generation. I've often said, I watched my dad take correction from God and how he, the attitude that he would have during it. And it showed me how to take correction from God. Correction from God ain't always easy, friends. No matter how right it is, it ain't always easy on you. God was a friend with Abraham. He came down to the tent that day in the plains of Mamre and sat down and visited with Abraham as a friend would. He talked to Abraham. And remember, God was getting ready to do something, but Abraham didn't know what God was getting ready to do. But as Jesus said, a real friend tells his friend everything. And so God said, I'm not going to withhold this thing from you that I'm going to do, Abraham. And he begins to tell him how he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. There's a friend. There's friendship. When God says, let me have your ear, I want to talk to you a little while. Most of the time we're thinking about getting God's ear. God hearing our prayer. You know, I'm going to tell you this, friends. If the only time you ever pray is when you need something, then you're missing out on a great relationship. You can't be friends with God and only pray when you need something. He wants to be praised. He wants to be worshiped. And I'll tell you something, friends, he deserves it. Often said, if God never did one more thing for me in my life, he's already done enough to deserve my praise through eternity. Abraham knew the nature of God. That's how he knew how to take God. Genesis 12, where God tells Abraham to get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and into a land I will show you. And God tells him, he says, I'll make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And listen to this verse now. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. That's what kind of a friendship Abraham had with God. Where God says, anybody blesses you, I'll bless them. Anybody who curses you, I'll curse them. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, and I want to begin reading at verse 7. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, far off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua the son of Nun, the young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. God come down and talked to Moses face to face the way a man would his friend. So here's another man that has a friendship with God. And why did he, how did he get to be a friend with God? It wasn't through any of his Egyptian upbringing or Egyptian schooling. But there was something on the inside of Moses that said, that called for something more than what Egypt could give him. And the Bible says he forsook all the treasures of Egypt to follow God. Why? There was something inside of him. First, Moses tried to answer this call by exerting himself. Of course, we know what that brought about, the death of one Egyptian. But when he met God at the burning bush, then there was an experience that Moses had with God that brought him into this relationship that he had with God. And when he walked forth from there, he was going forth to deliver Egypt. An old man, 80 some years old, with his wife and his children and a stick. And he was going to deliver Israel from Egypt. What made him believe he could? His experience he had at the burning bush. His experience he had with God made him believe that what looked impossible was possible. And besides that, God said, he didn't say, Moses, you're going to do this. He said, I'm going to do this. He would tell Moses what to do. Moses would tell Aaron, and Aaron would speak. What a relationship Moses had with God. When he went out into, when he brought Israel out, they got down to the Red Sea. Moses didn't begin to doubt. The people began to doubt. But Moses did. Moses told them to stand still and witness the glory of God. Witness the salvation of the Lord. Moses didn't know what God was going to do, but he believed God said what he meant, and that was he was going to deliver him, and he knew God didn't bring him out there to die by the Red Sea. So he turns to God. Remember what God says to him? Why cry? Speak. Speak that the people go forward. Moses spoke, and the waters rolled back. Years ago, I heard one man say, "He's a critic of God, a critic of the Bible." He said that Red Sea wasn't that deep. That's how he got him across. It wasn't that deep. Well, okay. But he somehow, with that undeep water, drowned all of Egypt's army. So I don't care how they want to put it, somewhere there was a miracle. I choose to believe that the miracle was that the water rolled back, like the Bible said, and they walked across on dry ground. There was a man one time. It was a friend of Jesus. And the scripture doesn't record a lot about their relationship. But this man was named Lazarus. And Lazarus took sick. And we find out in two places how much Jesus loved Lazarus. First of all, because one of Lazarus' sisters came to him and said, "The one whom you love is sick unto death." But Jesus tarries two more days. And he said that he was doing it because he was led of the Father to do it, that they might see the glory of God. And then he said to the disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth." And so he said, "I go to wake him." And the disciples at first thought meant, well, he actually just went to sleep. And then Jesus said to him plainly, "He's dead." But that the glory of God might be seen. And so Lazarus is dead. And Jesus goes to the two sisters, Martha and Mary. One says, "Lord, if you would have only been here, our brother would not have died." So, and she had faith. But Jesus told her to believe and that she would see the glory of God. And then Jesus says, "Where is he laying? Where did you lay him at?" And they take him down to where the tomb is. And the Bible says Jesus wept. He was troubled in the spirit and he wept. That's the second place it shows you how much he loved Lazarus. Who was it weeping? It was the man part of Jesus that was weeping. The loss of his friend. He was moved because he saw Mary crying and weeping. He saw the others weeping. And the Bible says he was troubled then in the spirit and he wept. But then he gets up and he tells him, "Roll the stone away." Mary says, "But Lord, he's been dead 4 days. By now he stinketh." Jesus said, "Roll it away." They rolled the stone away. And he prayed. He says, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But I said that for those here that they would know." And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And here a man who had been dead for 4 days. And remember, he was all wrapped up, the Bible said, in this linen and so forth. And he comes walking up out of there. Jesus didn't say, "Now y'all go down in there and help him out of there. Lazarus come up out of that tomb himself. Then Jesus told him, unwrap him, loose him. But I think of what it would have been like to have been on earth during the time when Jesus Christ walked on the earth and been considered his friend. There was one that presented himself to Jesus as friend, who wasn't friend at all, and that was Judas. He presented himself as friend, because you remember when he came to betray Jesus, Jesus asked him, why have you come, friend? But he was not friend of Jesus at all. What would it have been like to have been here on the earth and be able to be a friend, Jesus? But you know, you can be his friend today. Because Jesus said, I call you friends. Proverbs 18:24. First part of this verse says, a man that hath friends must shew himself friendly. Man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who's that talking about? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I was reading in the message yesterday. It was in the message preached in 1954 in Jeffersonville, titled The Unpardonable Sin. Brother Branham was talking about how things were then after the, he says, after the war is over. And he says, people are forsaking going to church. The churches are beginning to evacuate now. See, when the war was on, things looked real bad. Everybody wanted to go to church. That's just like when the Twin Towers got attacked. Seen all kinds of people getting religious. But they only got religious until it seemed like the scare was over. He said, the war's over. Everybody's well fed and got a change of clothes and got plenty of good jobs and settled down. They ain't got time to wait on you when you go to the store. He said, I called the other day to get my furnace fixed. And they said, did we put it in? And I said, no, somebody else did, but they're out of business. Then said, see to the people that went out of business. Just as unconcerned. Recently, the last few years, they would have solicited every bit of business they could. But they got enough money now. They don't care. Let it go. But let me tell you, that stuff will eat a canker holes in you, he said. He said, covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures. They will never pass away. The Ram says, I've been through depression, and I've been through prosperity. I've seen it all together, but I wouldn't turn loose of the hand of Jesus for all the money and wealth that you could pile on the face of the earth and everything else. Jesus is my friend. No matter what state I'm in, he's still my friend. When I'm broke, he's my friend. When I got plenty, he's my friend. When I'm sick, he's my friend. one of these days the Lord tarries and I'm laying dying, he'll be my friend. When I've got to, if I have to pass from this life into the next, that time, that day, he'll be my friend. When it's time for the dead in Christ to rise, he'll be my friend. When it's time for us to be united with them, he'll be my friend. When it's time to go meet him in the air, he'll be my friend. When I sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, he'll be my friend. Amen. When I come back to this earth during the millennium, he'll be my friend. As the ages and years roll by, he'll still be my friend. After 1,000 years has gone by, he'll still be my friend. When there is no more moon, when there is no more sun, he'll still be my friend. When the earth passes away, he'll still be my friend. In the ages to come, that are even beyond my being able to fathom them, he'll still be my friend. You know what the scripture said, what Jesus said on how to be a friend with him? He said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Then he instructs them that they're to have love one for another. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Friend of the cosmos is the word that's used there. Brother Branham says, God has never been a friend to the world in the way the world of being a friend of God. I mean, they're against God because they can't understand God. And they'll never know God only by faith. He said they're against God because they don't understand him. Yesterday, this is maybe a little off the beaten path of this. Yesterday, I was doing some research online. And I was looking through and I came across this one video that said, had a title of it of being a friend of God. And I thought, wow, well, I watched this. I wish I'd have never seen it. I can't remember exactly where the church was. But the man came out and he was talking about freedom. And he was talking about being no longer having to hide. And that. And then he showed up on the board a testimony of a man who had left another church and come to be a member of their church. And he said, I've been attending your church online for some time. And he says, but I'm glad to come now and be a member of it as a gay man. The man that was up there preaching was gay. Boy, I wish I'd never even saw this. This is what turned your stomach. But see, that's how they think. They don't understand about Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed. How could God do such a thing? Or how could it be in the Bible if it didn't happen? But they don't want to believe that. They want to believe, well, God just loves everybody. He's such a good God. It's so good now to be liberated and out in the open. No longer having to hide and be secret about what I am, is what the man said. I'm going to tell you something right now. They're not a friend to Jesus. They might think that they got a friend, but he ain't their friend. And they're going to find out when the fire and brimstone starts to fall that God is not a friend of gay people. Matthew 11:19, Jesus was speaking about the criticism that had been of himself. And he says, the Son of Man come eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified over children. A friend of publicans and sinners. Now, it wasn't that Jesus was going around hanging out with the publicans and helping them collect taxes. Because that's what they were. They were tax collectors. But it was that there had been publicans that had heard the message of Jesus and had left what they were doing and went to follow Jesus, but they were known to other people as publicans. And the Bible says Jesus sat with sinners at meat. And when he was questioned about it, he said, I didn't come to save those that are already saved. I come to save those that were lost. I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel. In other words, Jesus didn't get around folks that, and have his nose up in the air. But he presented to them the words of life. And there were many, the Bible says, of the common people that believed on him. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Verse 28. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reason together, perceived that he had answered them well, and asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus saw, he answered him discreetly, and he said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. No man after that durst ask him any question. Love thy neighbor as thyself. He says a second commandment. Love thy neighbor as thyself. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. We read in our text where he says, Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus said before this, he said, I, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. That God loved Jesus. And Jesus was able to say, like, my Father loves me, that's how I love you. And he instructs, love you one another the way I've loved, the way I love you. That's a great thing. Because, friends, it's one illustration that I heard of a friend is somebody that knows all about you and is and still your friend. That's a true friend. Jesus knows all about you. And yet, he loves you in spite of everything. There's not a one of us here this morning to say, I'm mistake-free. I never make any mistakes. I never have any failures. There's not a one of us here can say that. You know, Brother Branham gives the illustration about the young man that went to get a job. And the owner asked him, said, how come you don't have any erasers? And he says, because I don't make no mistakes. And he said, well, then I can't use you. He said, because a man that don't make no mistakes ain't doing nothing. We all make mistakes. But God loves us. He knew me, yet he loved me. There's another song said, he knew me then, and he knows me now, and he loves me. Hallelujah. He loves us. He made his journey from heaven to earth, from the earth to the cross, from the cross to the grave, and from the grave to heaven. And he done all of this so that he could be friends with us. He says, I don't call you servants because a servant doesn't know what his master does. Master don't tell his servants everything. He said, I tell you, call you friends because I have told you everything. As the Father loved me, so love I you. That's a powerful love. And you know, God demonstrates that love for us in where the scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'll show you how much God loved you. Jesus died. Wasn't a one of us there. Wasn't a one of us in existence. But he knew you then. And he knows you now. And he loves you. Oh, hallelujah. That's perfect love. Bible says we can have tongues, they'll cease. Prophecies, they'll fail. But love never fails. And it says when that which is perfect has come, that which was in part is done away with. Brother Bram said, that perfect thing that was to come, it's speaking about love. That's what was the perfect to come, was love. You know, a way you can show your friendship to Jesus is by being a friend, first of all, to one another. You see your brother in need, help him. Your sister. I have been witness. There was a, it's happened more than one time, but one time in particular, a letter was sent to me. And how it got to me was, it first was put in the offering plate up in Ohio in an envelope that was sealed and addressed to me. And so when they received it into the offering plate and seen it was addressed to me, they put it in another envelope and mailed it to me. And when I opened it up, there was a letter in there, and the letter said that they felt led of God to send me this money. Said, we felt led of God to send you this money so you could make a trip to West Virginia to refresh yourself. The letter wasn't signed. It was put anonymously in there. And I think about that. Somebody doesn't need recognition for something they've done. They didn't need for everybody up in Ohio to know they were doing something for me. And they evidently thought I didn't need to know who they were. The letter wasn't signed. Many times you can do things for people. You don't have to go, you know, when you really do it from the heart, you don't got to go around telling everybody, I did this for them. Did it from the heart. I think when I was studying on this message, I think of the many times that Brother Branham would start out a service calling people his friends. And I wondered, have them that were in the services, how many were his actual friends? I don't mean that they went hunting with him, fishing with him and all that, but I meant lived what he preached, believed what he said, and lived by it. Because Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. We'd all love to be friends with Brother Branham. If you do what God spoke through the prophet, if you do that, if you live that, then you are his friend. And I thought, as I read that and thought on those things, I thought, you know, my best friend in the world, I married her. But I got to thinking about where John talked about the bride has the bridegroom, but then begin to talk about the friend of the bridegroom. And I got to thinking about my friend that I had through high school. And he was my best man in the wedding. Recently, when I was up in Ohio, back in July, he made a trip from Bluffton up to Lorain to see me, be in the service, sat down and get to fellowship with me a little while. Miles separate us, and years have passed between us, but we're still friends and would still do whatever we could for each other. And then I thought, got to thinking about 21 years ago that I came here. And I got to thinking about the folks that were here when I got here, and then I got to thinking about those that came after I was here. And I thought, you're my friends. I thought about that story Brother Branham tells about that judge. How that there was a young man that had broke the law. And he was going to stand before the judge, and different people of the town began to threaten the judge that if he didn't render some good judgment toward this man, that they'd never vote for him again and they would hate him and all these things. But he went ahead and he had to go by the law and pass judgment on this young man. When he came out, the people were throwing things at him and yelling and screaming at him and saying, "We hate you. We hate you." And he said, "But I'm loved at home." Might be some people who don't like me, but I believe I'm loved by my friends. Amen. Be a friend with God. Be a friend with God. That when you're a friend with somebody, you can go pour your heart out to them. You can talk to them. That's how we ought to be able to talk to God. We're really going through something. When we feel miserable, when we feel down, instead of going and complaining to somebody else about it, get down and talk to our friend about it. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our troubles, hallelujah, he'll bear. All we got to do is take it to the Lord in prayer. You can get down before your friend and you just pour out how you feel. Free of any judgment. Friends, God wants to hear from us in that way in those times. I don't know why it is. Seems like sometimes it's the last thing we think of doing when we're going through something is praying. But that ought to be the first thing we think of. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning thanking you, Lord, for this service, for this message and thought that you give us, Lord. Lord, we truly thank you for being our friend. Through everything, you've always been my friend. I know you'll always be my friend. I'm sorry for the times that I didn't come to you first. I know I should. Lord, I ask you this morning to bless the people, Lord. Bless them by bringing forth the word. Now I ask you to bless them with your spirit by watering that word. Lord, that it come to fruition in their lives. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.